Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
My name is Jonathan McIntosh. As Joey said, I'm a political remix artist. I'm also an activist in the grassroots style, so I do the protests with the signs that you saw before, on a number of issues, especially around social justice and human rights in the United States. I'm also a curator, so I curate the type of work that I do, but that's done by others, into shows, which is what I call political remix video. And that's what I'm here to talk about today. Political remix video, I think, pushes the limits of intellectual property in ways that other remix work doesn't necessarily do. I think it's unique in that way, and it's also part of the symposium is pushing the limits of intellectual property, so I think it's fitting. The other thing that it can do, this type of work, I think, is to create a critical culture, or help create critical culture. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So as a quick definition, we've talked about remix, we've talked about open source, we've talked about free culture a little bit, and we've talked about sharing a lot. So I want to talk about what the subset is for political remix video. So it's a process. It's about deconstructing mass media or mass media fragments or corporate media or pop culture. So you capture it off of TV, off of movies, off of music videos, off of mainstream music, off of newscasts especially. And then you reconstruct it. So you break it apart, you reconstruct it, and you create a new subversive message. Sort of you use the old vehicle to create something new and put that alternative message back out there. And it's using the same footage, the same forms. So really it's a definition of subversion, I think. So I'm going to show you a brief example quickly. It's easier to show you than tell you. I'm going to do this by going to my website first, so you can follow along if you have a computer. So we are going to my website, which is Rebellious Pixels here. This is me. There we are. That's a picture of me. I'm going to go down here to my YouTube channel. Click on it. I also have Miro and Blip. And I'm going to go to my Ars Electronica Symposium 4 playlist, which you can also find is open on my channel. So you can take these videos home if you want, watch them. And I'm going to play just a small piece of what I think is my absolute favorite political remix to date. It was made by Jackie Salom, and it is about the media, Hollywood media, portrayal of Arabs and Arab Americans, but Arabs in general. In mainstream media, mainstream TV movies, mainstream blockbusters, etc. So she's picking apart these films, and she's creating a new work. That new work is a trailer, which she calls Planet of the Arabs. I'll show it here real quick. I'm going to use YouTube because this is how you would view it online. This is how I view things, so that's how we'll do it here. And hopefully we'll have... Here we go. I'm going to show a small piece of this. The full thing is 9 minutes. You can watch this later. I recommend that you do.
This is a hijack!
Dr. Omar, does it say what God's command is?
To kill Americans.
It's your government we fight, not you. It's your White House. One day I will go there. I will drive a truck. And trach, it will blow.
You have killed our women and our children, bombed our cities from afar like cowards, and you dare to call us terrorists!
Husband. Yeah, it was.
You didn't hear? She was in Paris showing the fall collection. She got hit by a burst of terrorist crossfire, Palestinians, French police.
Oh, my God. They found me. I don't know how, but they found me.
Run for it, Marty!
Who? Who do you think? The Libyans!
go anywhere in the U.S. There's nothing to stop them.
They're wandering to the Arab section, or you run into one of the Grand Mufti's gangsters and they'll kill you, son. They'll slit your throat.
Do you understand what I'm saying? American citizen. American citizen.
Before we start drilling, where should we park the camels?
So it's a small segment of that. So she's taking this apart, and she's saying, look, here's all these racist portrayals of Arabs in the media, especially the U.S. media. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these movies before. And I'd seen Back to the Future, you know, hundreds of times, probably, as a child. And it was one of my favorites. And I never saw that. I never saw that piece of Back to the Future where he screams, here come the Libyans, and they come screaming and shooting M16s in a suburban parking lot in the United States. Right? Crazy, ridiculous, racist portrayal of Arabs. So, in this context, I went, whoa, now I can't look at that movie in the same way again. Now I have to think about it in a more of a critical way. And she does that with cartoons, she does that with kids' shows, she does that with mainstream movies, and as the piece gets longer and longer and you go through it, you'll see more and more and more of those come out, and she exposes them through this process of remixing. So that's one piece that I wanted to show quickly. Yesterday, Tim Pritlove talked about hacking, and he talked about the hacking approach to technology, the hacking approach to art, and the hacking approach to life. Which I thought was particularly interesting because you could think about political remix video as the hacking approach to watching television, right? So we're watching something, maybe it's a mainstream movie, maybe it's a TV show, and we're thinking critically, and we're saying, wait, what's really going on here? We're breaking it apart, and we're looking inside of it, and then we're trying to find some way to recreate that and expose what's there. Political remix video is only one small part of a larger remix culture that's being developed all over the world, really, especially among youth. And I classify youth as people under 30. I'm 29, so I'm still, you know, still youth. We talked about a lot of this stuff over the past few days: accessibility of technology, affordability of that technology, being able to be online, and especially having access to raw video footage. Right, I can't sit and watch TV for weeks and weeks and weeks on end trying to get that little snippet. But I have YouTube, and I have tools like Vixi or tools like Tube TV, which allow me to take YouTube and then remix YouTube. I also have BitTorrent, so I can get movies, and I can remix those. Right? So I don't have to go to the DVD store, if there are such a thing anymore, and rent them or get them off of iTunes sites. So when I talk about the political part of political remix video, for me, it's not just about governments, it's not just about elections or public policy, although that's a big part of it. But it's also about sexuality, about race, about gender, about class, about economics. Certainly we saw in the last video, it was about race and it was about stereotypes and portrayals of a people. So the other thing that it does then is it challenges social norms, it challenges power and powerful institutions and myths about our society and ourselves. So I just want to show another one real quick. I'm going to go back to my playlist and pull up another one. This is one that I made. It's called Go Army Bad Guys. It is a remix of a commercial for the U.S. Army, a recruiting commercial for the U.S. Army. It was played during the first few years of the Iraq invasion, and it was directed at getting people to come in and fight in Iraq. So that was this, and it was shown on mainstream television in the United States all the time, especially prime time, especially shows that youth might be attracted to. So here, we'll take a look.
Gary, what would you like to do with your life?
You want to be like the good guys riding around with the white hats?
No, to be honest, I want to be in the bad guys. Real bad guys. Bad guys that tie people up. Torture them.
Oh.
shot their titties with the car battery. Who cares about those good guys? Bad guys. They're the ones.
You may go back to class now, Gary.
Get strength for now, strength for later. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
Apologize for the small sound problem there, but the idea is to recontextualize a commercial for the U.S. Army, what it might be like to be in the U.S. Army, what you might have to do, and especially what that might be doing to youth, especially in America, but around the world. And so you have this character who is really excited about going and doing all these horrible things now. So it's kind of an anti-recruitment ad. Incidentally, since I made this, and there are hundreds of these online that I found recently, so you can go check them out. In fact, I don't think you can find the actual Army ads on YouTube. I think it's only remixes at this point, or at least I couldn't find any. This form is, it's what I would call do-it-yourself. It's primarily by people for people. And you can see that in the way that it's created not by institutions or corporations or governments, by and large, but by people who have access to some software and a computer and access, net access. And then it's distributed this way, too. It's distributed freely. So it's distributed via YouTube, via Blip, via half a dozen other video sharing tools. Because it's not made, I'm not making it for institutions or policymakers or academics. I'm making it for other people, right? Not necessarily people who agree with me, but other people. To see that and to see a critical take on that. So I'm going to show you another one. This one has a lot, this is very specific, I think, to things that were happening in California a few years ago. As you may know, Schwarzenegger is the governor of California now. And so he give a little bit of context, since it's very local. There was a gang member who had been arrested and who was being going to be put to death, going to be executed. And this guy, Tukey Williams, he had spent most of his time in jail, which is a substantial amount of time, writing books to children to get them out of gangs. And he'd become an advocate against gang violence, and he'd been very successful in this. And so the plea was, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger, please don't kill this guy. He's doing amazing work and turned his life around and turned the life of young people around, too. Schwarzenegger denied that and killed him anyway. So this is a video in protest of that.
A wise man once said the death penalty is about three things: politics, politics, and politics.
Stanley Tookie Williams is a reputed founder of the violent Crips gang and was convicted of no less than four murders.
During his 24 years in prison, Williams wrote several children's books about the dangers of gangs, trying to discourage young people from a life of violence. His work earned him six nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize.
California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger chose not to spare his life, saying Williams had murdered without remorse and that the continued pervasiveness of gang violence leads one to question the efficacy of Williams' message. So what does that mean?
Kill that son of a bitch!
It's showtime.
Clemency is rare, and as much as anything, a political liability.
Clemency can be seen when it's exercised by a governor as a sign of weakness or not being tough on one of the country's supposedly great social issues.
Fuck you, asshole!
You can't do that.
Wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is just horrible. Words can't express what we're all feeling at this very moment.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
In the 21st century, a weapon will be invented like no other. It can't be reasoned with. It will feel no pity, no remorse, no fear. This weapon will be called the Terminator.
Thank you.
Well, there's a strict ritual to executions here at San Quentin, but this morning, early this morning, everything did not go precisely as planned.
It went a long time. They seemed to have trouble finding his veins, and he appeared to grow frustrated. A guard read the death warrant, and the lethal drugs started to flow. He tried to keep his head up, then laid it back down forever.
Listen to me very carefully, okay? You're not a Terminator anymore, all right? You got that? You just can't go around killing people.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because you can't.
Why?
Because you just can't, okay? Trust me on this.
So that video was by a remixer called The Black Lantern. You saw some of his work yesterday. He also made the video George Bush Doesn't Like Black People, a remix about Hurricane Katrina. So some fantastic remix work there. I guess I'll show you one more quickly. This is one called George W. Bush's Downhill Jam, and this one is by Aaron Velasquez, taking a Wii commercial, a Nintendo Wii commercial, and remixing it with the grammatical creativity of my current president.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream. If you don't stand for anything, you don't stand for anything. If you don't stand for something, you don't stand for anything.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Shame on you. You fool me, you can't get fooled again.
And this war will end in the defeat of the terrorists and totalitarians and a victory for the cause of freedom and liberty.
In my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it,
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
We've never been able to confirm any connection between Iraq and 9/11.
Okay. So, there's a couple things that I find really interesting about these videos. One is its use of pop culture. I think that for political remix video especially, the use of pop culture is vital to being able to make something like this. And why is that? Well, I think that for better or for worse, pop culture, especially pop media culture, in the United States anyway, is a language that people understand, most people understand. It has a lot of meaning for people, sort of infused into that media. It teaches us about ourselves, about others, for good and for bad. And about our society. So it's a way that we learn through pop culture, and it's a way that we understand the world, and it's a way that we're able to share the world. Did you see the show last night? Did you see what happened on the news? Did you see this? Did you see that, right? These are the conversations we have all the time, at least where I come from. So pop culture and mass media are constantly constructing these myths about who we are and normalizing the things around us, right? So sexism is very normalized in mass media culture. Violence, war, power, etc. And so we can take that logic and we can break it apart and we can say, hey, maybe we have a different opinion about this. Maybe we don't want to see the world in this way. Let me expose it. Let me show it by remixing what you are trying to feed us. So I think pop culture is not like this magical thing that just happens. It's a very carefully constructed and manipulated thing. And, you know, it might be conscious or unconscious, but remixers can intervene in that culture and challenge it and create a new culture, an alternative culture that says something else with a different meaning. The other thing that I find very interesting about those last two, especially for me, is the form and the style. So you'll notice the form and the style of both of those mimics mass media culture, right? They mimic TV ads. They mimic music videos. They mimic movie trailers. They mimic the quick cuts and the sound bites. All the things, all the devices that mass media uses to tell a different story. So just by taking them and changing the place, you get a whole different message and a whole different meaning. Now, and it also uses humor and irony and sensationalism, all the things that TV ads use, all the things that mass media uses and relies on. So it's not critiquing the mass media forms and styles as much as it's critiquing the messages in them. And I think that's a key component of Remix, especially political, well, specifically political Remix video, is that it's not just remixing media. It's not just taking footage and audio and remixing that and coming up with something new. Certainly there's a lot of that out there. I think it's great. But the political part, for me, comes when you're remixing the message also. So the message is coming at you from the mainstream saying this, this, and this, and you can take it and you can change the message. So you're remixing the message as well as the media. And I think that is what political remix video does so well, in my opinion. I want to show another one. This one also has a lot of context that's local to the U.S. elections. So I'm going to give just a very small synopsis of this video, because I think it needs that context. In the United States, incidentally, you don't really have to talk about it, because everyone knows somehow, because this is all the mass media talked about for months. This is Jeremiah Wright. He is the pastor of Barack Obama, who is the Democratic nominee for president. He has some very critical things to say about U.S. foreign policy. The mass media, the mass news organizations, took little clips, little 9-second clips of what he had to say and played them out of context and condemned him universally, right? So much so that Barack Obama then condemned him as well for these statements. So people like me went, well, I want to know what else he said. Like, was it just that 9-second thing and then he got off the stage? Or, well, no, it's a whole sermon. It's 30 minutes. And this remixer, whose name is Theodore Lyons, he took a big segment of that, a 2-minute segment, which you never heard on the mass media, and played it in context. And then over it, he played clips from, especially from blockbuster Hollywood movies, things that we know, we understand, we're familiar with. We can go, oh, I have a connection to that, an emotional connection, because I saw that in the theater, because I liked that movie, right? And he played that over these words to give us some sort of context and some sort of familiarity with it, because we haven't seen this footage of Jeremiah Wright before, but we have seen the things he put over it for the most part. And I think it's a very powerful piece. So with that context.
Max said when he got silenced by Elijah Muhammad was in fact true. America's chickens are coming home to roost. We took this country by terror away from the Sioux, the Apache, the Arawak, the Comanche, the Arapaho, the Navajo. Terrorism. We took Africans from their country to build our way of ease and kept them enslaved and living in fear. Terrorism. We bombed Grenada and killed innocent civilians, babies, non-military personnel. We bombed the black civilian community of Panama with stealth bombers and killed unarmed teenagers and toddlers, pregnant mothers and hard-working fathers. We bombed Gaddafi's home and killed his child. Blessed are they who bash your children's head against a rock. We bombed Iraq. We killed unarmed civilians trying to make a living. We bombed a plant in Sudan to pay back for the attack on our embassy, killed hundreds of hard-working people, mothers and fathers who left home to go that day, not knowing that they never get back home. We bombed Hiroshima, we bombed Nagasaki, and we nuked far more than the thousands in New York and the Pentagon, and we never batted an eye. Kids playing in the playground, mothers picking up children after school, civilians, not soldiers, people just trying to make it day by day. We have supported state terrorism against the Palestinians and black South Africans, and now we are indignant because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost.
So again, that's Theodore Lyons, and it's called, the full title is Jeremiah Wright, Painting a Picture of U.S. Aggression, which is hard to find on YouTube, but you can find it from the playlist. So again, here's something that you didn't see in the mainstream media, at least in the United States. You did not see that full clip. You didn't hear it. And now we can hear that, and we can have these emotional triggers that you know, whatever you think about it, it's a different point of view. It's something that should have been shown or heard at least and wasn't. And so Remix was able to do that and use this familiarity. That last clip was from Terminator. And so we are familiar with that, even though we're not familiar with the words. So I think it's very powerful, that. Critically, though, what you'll notice is that none of this can be with permission, I don't think. Or most of it cannot be with permission. I don't know if the owners of that media, those movies, those TV shows, are going to be like, yeah, cool, go ahead and use it, remix it, you know, have this political message critical of the United States, and use our movie to do it. Right? That's not going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen for $1 million, for more than $1 million, and I don't think there's any way they're going to say, yeah, that's okay. And so in this case, it has to be without permission, and that's what most political remix is it's taking something without permission and using it. Taking pop culture, especially. Now, Creative Commons is fantastic, especially if you're looking for music and you want to create something that you want to put out there and sell or whatever. But I think that there's something to be said, a value in also being able to use elements of the pop culture, which is all around us, which is part of us, which informs who we are, and use that as well to tell stories and to, especially to criticize it. So I can't imagine that Coca-Cola saying, yeah, it's cool if you go and use our logo and our commercial to criticize the running of the Olympic torch through Tibet. No way in the world, in a million years, is Coke going to be like, that's cool, right? But we can do that anyway. We don't have to ask permission, I think. So, you know, is it legal? Is it not legal? It's a question that I get a lot. It's fuzzy. There's a thing called fair use in the United States, which a lot of people have been using as a defense. Something similar here, I think. Is it all fair use? Is it not? I think that's up to courts to decide that, and I'm not going to wait around and say if a judge will give me a stamp of approval before I'll talk about my culture and the things that are happening in my life, in my country, in this way. So I say just do it and see what happens. I think the value of the work is way more important than the potential legal consequences. Especially since it might make the copyright owners a little bit angry to have their work used in various ways that they don't agree with, that are very highly charged and political and emotional. Let me just make sure we have time to move on. So it creates, I think, a critical culture. And this is something that I wanted to sort of end on. The power of this kind of work is not necessarily that the work will change the society in a, you know, I made this and therefore this changed. It's a small piece of a much larger political and cultural transformation, I think, that's occurring. So little tiny pieces. So this video is a piece, this video is a piece, this blog is a piece, right? And all those things together create a torrent of, I think, transformation and change. I'm going to show, I'm going to show one that I made. I want to show, though, the original before I show you the remix. So hopefully this will work. This is the original. This is so I made this a few months ago. I was watching TV. I was just sitting there watching TV, you know, surfing the channels. And I saw a commercial, which is part of a campaign by Chevron Oil Corporation. They're trying to rebrand themselves as a human, environmentally conscious company. They're spending $15 million, something about that, it's an estimate, on their campaign to make me believe that this company really has my best interest at heart. And so I saw this on TV and I went, I'm thinking critically about it. I'm going, wait, what? Seriously. So then I did some research. I went to Wikipedia. I went to various blogs I know around the country, human rights blogs, corporate watch blogs, and I found out all this information about Chevron, which I knew a little bit about, but not all of it. They're one of the last companies that's in, or one of the companies that's profiting the most out of Burma, working with the dictatorship. They have some pretty horrific environmental destruction, both in the Niger Delta and also in South America. They're also profiting off of Iraq and the occupation of Iraq. These are things I'm not going to tell you in their commercial, but I was able to find with these tools we have. So here's their version of what they are as a company.
Can you see it?
It's here, 175 miles off the coast of Louisiana. It's your commute, your flight to Phoenix, your way of life. Here, more than 28,000 feet below the surface, in a place experts thought impossible to reach, setting half a dozen world records for technological innovation, without a single safety or environmental incident. Every day the world demands more energy, and every day it gets harder to find. So every day we push technology. We seek alternatives. But we also attempt the extraordinary to power the world right now. This is the power of human energy.
So that's their version. That's their version. Their version, that obviously, they have a lot of resources, one of the biggest oil companies in the world. They spent $15 million, something like that, on this campaign. So a lot of resources. There's a lot of power there, a lot of institutional power. And here I am, a guy with a computer. So what can I do? Well, one is I saw that and I went, seriously, I mean, no. Come on. And so I decided to make my own version. I think their tagline, human energy, is very unfortunate for them. I don't know if they vetted that through the remixing liabilities, but here's my version of that same ad.
Every day the world demands more energy, and every day it gets harder to find. Where is it? How do we find it? We're trying to answer those questions in ways once unimaginable. Can you see it? It's here, in a place experts thought impossible to reach. So every day we push technology. Tell us it can't be done. Then watch as we tap the greatest source of energy in the world.
Yes, boots!
This is the power of human energy.
I noticed you all didn't applaud for the Chevron one, the original one. I wonder why that is. I wonder if that's because you're thinking critically. I wonder if that's because we're trying to promote, hopefully, through all of this technology, a critical culture that looks at the world around us in a critical way, looks at pop culture, looks at advertising, looks at the powerful institutions around us and says, wait, let me look at this. What's really happening here? Let me see what's, let's break it apart. Let's hack it. Let's see what's inside. Let's see how it works. And let's put it back together and say what we think it might really mean. Certainly, I'm talking from a best-case scenario. There's a lot of video out there. There's a lot of remix video about political topics that isn't necessarily great, right? Maybe something that you hate or don't agree with. I think that the key component is as long as it's critical of power in some way or oppressive institutions or mainstream media, as long as it's critical of that, it's positive, right? And it helps us develop our critical analysis, too. So just in closing here, this is not just being critical, right? It's not just being critical of what we see, but it's also being creative, because we can be critical of what we see, and then we can think to ourselves, well, how can I make something out of that that says what I think, right? So it's subversion. It's taking their thing and saying, I want this to say something else. And the creative process of deconstructing it and then reconstructing it into something else, like a remix video, I think is very powerful. It's part of this talk-back culture. It can expose oppression, it can expose injustice, it can expose hypocrisy. It can even empower our collective imaginations, I think. There's a video on this playlist, which I would invite you all to go and see. It's called Bush for Peace. We don't have time to watch it now. But it's a great example, I think, of helping us envision a better world by showing George W. Bush give a speech for peace by recutting his speech and putting it back together so that he's actually saying things that you could only dream of a president saying. And so I think that that's a fantastic version of Remix and talking about collective imagination. So I think I'm going to stop there. If you have questions, please ask them. And thank you for inviting me.